If you look at an ordinary promotional picture of Second Avenue, the leading commercial street in those days, such as the Chamber of Commerce might send out to show that Seattle not only had stores, but streetcars and automobiles and refinement of sorts, you are meant to be impressed, that is, the picture is trying to make you impressed, with well-crowded streets filled mostly with well-dressed people. Such pictures were not staged. The streets were crowded, and well-dressed people walked them. But the life of downtown was not restricted to shoppers and wealthy businessmen. If there was nothing usually called heavy industry downtown, there were furniture and cabinet makers, there were machine shops, laundries, groceries, dressmakers, meat and fish merchants, florists, candy stores, and in every case, the owners and workers could and often did live at or near their business. The population of such an area created by its very diversity a demand for diversified business and housing. The boarding houses accommodated not only obvious transients like salesmen and sailors, but also jewelers, engineers, teachers, and teachers of almost anything from the violin to penmanship, clairvoyants, midwives, retired couples. Furthermore, the alleys between the streets, which are now not much used because office buildings tend not to need them, were humming with activity. In one stretch between 1st and 2nd Avenue were a print shop, a contractor's office, a painter's office, and a shoe outlet, right behind the Haller Building on one side and three of the more established hotels on the other. Of course, there was some separating out of business and residence. That is to say, 1st Avenue had the bulk of the older hotels and business blocks, of which the Arlington Hotel and the Coleman Building are the best good existing examples, while 2nd Avenue had the bulk of the real retail stores and the newer buildings, of which maybe the 2nd and Cherry and the Burke Buildings are the best existing examples. The Bonn and Fredericks were on 2nd, as I've said, as were the Times and the PI, and the first of the bank buildings that would later dominate the street, like the Dexter Horton Building. It wasn't until one moved either north of about University Street or east of 2nd Avenue that boarding houses and single-family homes began to appear in any quantity. Also, churches were mostly on 3rd Avenue at this point, and pictures of 3rd during the period seek and gain a rather pastoral air, which made it quite different from either 1st or 2nd. So that there was some sorting out of activity. The large hotels on 1st, the commercial buildings on 2nd, the churches on 3rd. But, from what can be gathered, really, it was a downtown that no city of 65,000 people, and few cities any larger, know anything about anymore. Because it was more compact, and more and more different kinds of activities were taking place within a smaller space than is now the case either in Seattle or anywhere else in America that I know of.